Hi, I'm Alex. I'm Alex.
Hi, Alex.
I'm really nervous. This is my first chair. That starts an easy one. And I'm really grateful to be asked to speak at this meeting, particularly because it's played such a huge part of my recovery. I got a service position here about a week after I finished treatment, and I think it's been one of the most constant parts of my recovery. And being asked to do a chair, my kind of default position is to kind of stay silent, stay quiet, don't be seen. And I think it's because inside I have this, I know that I'm a terrible person, and if I show you who I am, then you'll know too. So to have the opportunity to share with you and kind of chip away at my shame, I'm really grateful for and also really scared about. So I think the first drug I picked up was food. I was a compulsive overeater, maybe by 12 or 13. I had some quite sexually traumatic experiences at 11 and 12, and I just like would push down all these confusion and anger and shame. I didn't really pick up drugs or alcohol excessively until quite a lot later. I think I had quite a... in my teenage years, I had quite a difficult mother. And it's not really her fault. Her mother didn't raise her... didn't meet her needs, so my mum raised me to meet my mother's needs, and so I would kind of perform a role for her. I wasn't allowed my own feelings, and so my own feelings that I was having, I would just push down with food. And I think my drug addiction really kicked off when I was 18. I went to university, and for my first year of university, I really just smoked weed and I was about 108 kilos when I went into my second year. I moved in next to, I lived in Sheffield, and I moved in next to some drug dealers, and they would put on free parties in Sheffield, and I found these group of people who would put on raves, and I got dreadlocks and I got a weed tattoo on my foot. And I thought I was the coolest person, and I'd found my tribe. And as soon as I started, I didn't really touch Class A's until I was about 18 or 19. And then as soon as I touched them, I went from 108 kilos to 65 kilos in about 6 months. Everything else stopped. I didn't do anything else. Really, it got really messy really quickly. I dropped out of uni, obviously, and I went back to live with my mum, but obviously I hadn't learned how to manage her anymore, and she didn't know how to manage me, and she kicked me out, had quite a violent altercation with my stepdad, and I was homeless for about 2 months. I went back to Sheffield, and everything got really, really messy. I was living in a flat on my own. I was taking drugs. I never thought I'd take doing things for drugs, for money for drugs. I never thought I'd do. And I just felt really stuck and trapped in this life that I couldn't really believe was mine. I just ended up here and I didn't know how to get out. And I was in a relationship, and the person I was in a relationship with broke up with me because, as well, I think as well, a lot of my using is to do with my shame and my intimacy. And I put drugs in between me and you because I don't want you to see who I really am. And she just got tired of it. So she broke up with me, and the pain of that end of that relationship made me try and become the person I thought she wanted me to be. So I stopped taking drugs and I moved. Well, really, I was like, I've had enough. I'm going to go and I'm going to learn how to build my own house and grow my own food, and I'm going to live in the middle of the woods somewhere. But that took me to, I went to live at a Hare Krishna temple. And they let me work on their farm, and they fed me and let me stay there. Well, lived in a tent on the farm for 4 months and just got my shit together. And without realising it, I was actually doing the NA programme. I didn't know I was an addict, but I would go there, I'd go to the temple, I would meditate, I would connect with people, and it really helped me get clean. But because I still didn't know I was an addict, I didn't really know I had to be abstinent. So after I left the Hare Krishnas, I got a job and everything was kind of normal and I was kind of functioning and I got my life back on track. But I didn't know, as soon as you take that first drug, you go back to where you start. And so again, I was in another dysfunctional relationship. And about 2 years after, 2 years of being generally a bit functional, but a bit mad, my head just went, because I had a friend who was stealing from me and I was in this relationship that I didn't really want to be in, and it was really difficult. And I was just like, I can't fight this anymore. I can't hold back this tide. And within weeks, I was back to where I was before, taking drugs on my own in my room. I couldn't pay my rent. I didn't do anything else. I lost all my jobs. And half of me was saying, Alex, you love drugs. And if taking drugs all the time means you have to be homeless, then that's a consequence that you're going to have to deal with, because this is what you were born to do and this is what you're good at. And the other half was saying, actually, never again. I'm never, ever going to let this happen to me ever again. So I had to get honest with my dad, and I was like, Dad, I need help and I don't know what I'm doing, and I just don't know what to do. I keep going to NA, but I kept going to NA and using and thinking I was doing recovery, and I just couldn't hear the suggestions. I didn't think it was for me. Yeah, abstinence is for you, and sponsor might be for you, and steps might be for you, but it's not for me. So I went to treatment, and I was there for a really long time because I kept relapsing. And I did residential and then went back to outpatient. And I actually started coming here while I was still an outpatient, and I was really, really, really scared. And I would sit right by the door because, just in case.
No.
I was very young. I'd sit by the door because I was really scared, and I couldn't get up and get a cup of tea, and I couldn't go to the toilet, and I think, so recovery, what I've got in my life is a job that I really enjoy, and I go to university now. And I'm learning to connect with people and let myself be seen. I still struggle. I'm on step four and I get really angry and I don't really know how to process my anger, and it wasn't really safe for me to express my anger as I was growing up. So when I feel angry, I can turn it on myself. So I still struggle with self-harm, but the people in NA are kind to me when I don't know how to be kind to myself. And just little by little, the kindness that I'm shown, I can start to show to myself, and the gentleness and the love, and I'm starting to learn that I deserve. I'm worthy of staying clean for. I'm worthy of kindness, and I think that's what I want to say to anyone who's new or back from a relapse. When we're in active addiction, we would never ever treat ourselves, we never treat anyone else the way we treat ourselves. So just stick around so we can show you how you deserve to be treated. Because that's what I've been shown, just slowly, slowly, little pushes, like, you're okay, Alex. And a little push to take little risks, to do a chair or to stand up and do an announcement, like, you can do it, it's okay, you're fine. And I still don't know, I'm not sure I completely believe it myself yet, but I'm really getting there. And just a positive self-talk, not telling myself I'm such an idiot anymore because other people are telling me nice things, so maybe I can say that too. Just keep coming back. I've got like a dozen of those white keyrings. They're so annoying, but it doesn't matter. Just keep coming back because it will stick, and it's so worth it because you deserve it and I deserve it, and we're all worth it. We're all worth staying clean for. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.